Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes life circumstances that come our way can create confusion for us. God sometimes seems to throw a roadblock into the plans that you think He's laid out for you. I don't know if this only happens to me, but there are times when it seems as though God is toying with me, and I'm left scratching my head. I know of a comedian named Stephen Wright, and he does this little bit about when he's talking about naming a puppy, and he wants to name the puppy Stay. So when he calls the dog, he says, "Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay." I'm guessing that like the confusion that that little puppy would feel, I feel confused by God sometimes. That demon-possessed man in the gospel lesson today, he must have felt something like that. When Jesus had healed him, he wanted to go with Jesus, thought maybe it was only natural or even expected of him to do that. But no, Jesus told him to stay. And that wasn't the only thing that Jesus said to the man. He told him to stay and tell. Stay and tell. He was to stay in that town and tell what it was that God had done for him. Now, that idea of telling, that sounds kind of familiar to us here, right? Our mission is what? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. That is, we're also to stay in this community, to live the gospel here, before them, and like this demoniac who was healed, we also are to share what God has done for us in Christ. Look back at this story for a minute. The man is demon-possessed and is released from his demons by the word of Jesus. Now, remember how last week the word of Jesus changes your world. And again, this week, that's what happens with this individual man. When Jesus goes to leave town, at the request of who? The fearful people in that place. This man, who's been healed and had his world changed, he naturally wants to go with Jesus who had healed him. But Jesus' comment to the man, his command to the man, was that he was to stay and tell of what God had done for the man. I pause there because I want you to notice the hugely important point from these few words, and that is that Jesus' work is God's work. Jesus' work is God's work. Jesus knows his own identity, and with this bold statement makes it clear that he understands and does not hide the fact that he is God in the flesh. When Jesus heals this man with his word of deliverance, Jesus does what only God can do. He restores this man to his right mind and sets him free from the power of sin, Satan, and death. Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus here makes that clear in these, what are those things at the bottom of the screen? That's right, his words and works. His words and works. Jesus, in showing his power over Satan and his demons in this particular way, also shows us that we are in the same condition as either this man or we're in the same condition as the fearful townspeople. That is, we either live in abject fear of God and his power, just as the pig herders and the people of that town expressed, or we're like this poor man who was bound under the power of Satan and sin and needed the deliverance that Jesus can grant by his word alone. And did you notice how the townspeople came to fear Jesus? It was by the witness of the pig farmers to what Jesus had done. the town was told. That's the power of a witness. But in this case, rather than rejoicing at the work of God by the power of Jesus' word, they reacted in fear. We should all know that we need the work of God, which is the deliverance that he declares in the words of Jesus. And we need all of that in our own life. But some of us want God's help, and others of us want Jesus to just simply leave us alone. Some of us really don't want to live free of sin and its power that both surrounds us and lives in us. This lesson from the gospel is a test of faith for me in true gospel living. I find it a challenge to hear of Jesus discussing anything with demons, let alone listening to them and giving them permission to go ahead and then destroy these swine. Surely Jesus knew what was going to happen. However, I also have to know that Jesus did what was best for the man, the swine, the townspeople, and for people like me who would read this. It's a challenge to accept that Jesus is acting in his sovereign knowledge when he accepts the pleas of the demons to not send them into the abyss right then. Now, we all know, and obviously the demons knew, that going into the abyss will be their ultimate fate. But not that day. That fate will, it will come to them eventually, as it will for all and for everyone who refuses God and what he offers in the words and works of Jesus. But that judgment comes in God's timing alone, not in yours or not in mine. There are those who said, or perhaps even we have said it at one time or another, that I really just don't need God to get along in my daily life. And there's also people that we know who easily comes out of them that, well, religion just really isn't for them. And there are many people who are religious about believing that religion isn't for them. In one sense, they are right, but we do need Jesus. Everyone needs deliverance and healing through Jesus' words and works. Words and works. That is, through his death on the cross and his victorious resurrection to life, which he promises by his word to give to us for life in heaven with him. But for some people, many people, they're either too proud or seemingly self-sufficient to need God. Sad to say, this fellow, Andrew Carnegie, one time said, "I don't want a free ticket into heaven." To people like him, salvation by grace through faith alone, it's just a hard teaching. It's not something that they will accept. It's amazing to me that since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we've found ways to reject God, and it seems to continually be the same thing. We often try to keep God out, but God always, always seeks after us. We're facing a world that on the whole rejects God. We need not be fearful of what happens, because our future is in God's hands. We simply open our hands to receive what God has for us. Now, the world we live in still finds ways to spurn God. It's done so ever since the Garden of Eden. Think for a moment. What have you seen in the news recently or heard in a conversation that tells you that this is true? How many times have you seen others, or maybe even you yourself, me myself, have covered up sin and called it something else, like, oh, it's a disease, it's a choice, it's my lifestyle? That's because no one likes the idea of sin, because that would mean that there is a judge who's greater than we are, and no one likes that idea. So, it's no different today than even in Isaiah's day that we read about in the Old Testament lesson. Isaiah there outlines ways that people offend God. And in the townspeople, in the gospel lesson, we see what Isaiah describes. Look back at the Old Testament lesson for a moment. In verse 1, Isaiah tells us that God reveals himself to a people who did not ask him. And Isaiah also points out that there are people who, as he says in verse 4, sit among the tombs. It's uncanny how this passage from Isaiah has elements in it from today's gospel lesson. It even speaks of pigs. The condition of our world as seen in the Old Testament lesson today, it just simply hasn't changed. The question is, will we recognize the condition we are in? Will we receive the healing that God brings to us in Jesus' words and works and then be set free like the demoniac? Or will we, like the townspeople and like Isaiah said, reject God out of fear? That's an important question to consider. And it's important for us to recognize that fear is what many of those around us live in, those that we are to be sharing the gospel with. Fear, as much as anything, is why people reject God and his love in Jesus Christ. Now, to be honest, we too have done that in our own lives in many ways. You've heard me say it before. Living in the grace and mercy of God puts God in control and not us. There's something of a Hebrew way of thinking in that we are both at the same time totally free as well as totally under the control of God in his grace. Falling back on fear as an excuse isn't for those who live under God's grace. Now, I know it's true for me that fear of not doing the right thing is what oftentimes prevents me from living in the freedom that Christ died to give me. Fear is that thing that can paralyze me into inaction just because I'd rather not do anything than do the wrong thing. Wayne Gretzky, the hockey star, one time said this: "You miss 100% of the shots that you never take." It's a good line. It's a good thought. And not taking shots is wrong for me, since I claim to be free in Jesus Christ. If I believe the truth that I profess to be found in Scripture, then I need not fear. I am free to try and to do the right thing. And if I make a mistake in trying to do what I believe God wants me to do, well, then I trust him to both forgive me and to correct me. And God does correct us when we do the wrong thing, but it's done out of love for us. It's not punishment. I need not fear God's punishment in that way. Jesus has taken that on the cross. Christ has taken away all divine punishment for all of my wrongs, all of my sins, and all of my fear. Just as he's done for you, for our church, for our town, and for our world. Jesus didn't punish the demoniac for doing wrong. Rather, Jesus took away what it was that caused him to live as he did. Jesus removed the source of his torment. And Jesus does that for you and I too. Jesus removes our fear. So, we gather here today, not in fear. You all know the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, right? You all know that hymn? Okay. Well, I know of a parody of that hymn that says, Onward Christian soldiers, running from the war, with the cross of Jesus hid behind the door. Well, that's not us. We don't hide the cross of Jesus behind the door. And we don't run from the war we are in. We gather together here in faith. Faith in the power of God's words and works. Words and works to deliver us. Because we know that we've been already accomplished, been delivered from our fear and from being the possession of Satan. The blood of Jesus from the cross has accomplished that and has delivered to us faith. The epistle lesson today says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. We know what it is to have been locked up, being fearful and rejecting God, just like many in the community that we seek to share the gospel with. But by faith coming to us through the declaration of God's word, we are set free from fear. It's true. We have been released. We're not confused about our name like that little puppy called Stay. We're not held in bondage like the townspeople in the gospel lesson. We're not like Andrew Carnegie. We embrace the free ticket to heaven that's ours through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his victorious resurrection to life again. Now, we are soldiers of that cross. And we've been given our right mind and been clothed like that demoniac. Now, don't miss this. We have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And we have been given the mind of Christ. So for us, we hear today Jesus' words to the demoniac for ourselves. Jesus tells us to stay and tell. We get to tell of what God has done for us to people around us in our town. And that brings us back around to the subtle power of the statement that Jesus made earlier. What Jesus' work has done for us, he has done because he is God in the flesh. His power and his work has been revealed to us, as Isaiah said, even though we were once a people who didn't ask for God to reveal himself to us. But in love, God has done just that. I love that he has sent our demons to drown. We have been freed of that deadly fear that once possessed us. We are now in our right minds. And Jesus wants us to stay and tell by doing, what is it we say we're doing here? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. Now, what form will that take for you in the next few days, that hearing, sharing, and living the gospel? How will you be intentional about sharing, about telling the gospel? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.